Da, 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 da.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm the person who doesn't know if I was asked to the prom or not.
Are you still wondering this question?
Yes.
Did we ever get resolved?
No,
oh my God.
No resolution.
Everyone has a story to tell. We have a bottle of wine and an ear to listen. Join a couple of dolts as we dote out some anecdotes. And welcome to Anecdotal Dote. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Anecdotal Dote, the podcast that celebrates the stories and storytellers in all of us. I'm John Seidenberg, the guy who once tried to father a mouse and her babies on a camping retreat. Joining me on this podcast is what happened when that mouse got her wish and became a real girl, Laura Arnold.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, so we... as a young evangelical boy, we were not a part of the Boy Scouts. We were a part of this thing called the Royal Rangers, which was just a Pentecostal knockoff of the Boy Scouts. And part of that was that in the summers, they would have a powwow, which is racially and culturally insensitive. Right. But that doesn't matter, apparently. And so I went with a bunch of these boys, and these boys were typical douchebag, awful, terrible boys. And I remember they spent most of their time like torturing and maiming animals that they came across. This mouse had a couple of little babies, and they were like running around our campsite. And everyone was trying to catch them so they could like torture them. And I was like, no, not on my watch. And so I like was able, because they were slow, I was able to catch them and I put them in my tent and I was like, I'm going to save them. And so like my plan was like, I was going to be their protector in the tent. And I'm thinking, I've just put myself inside a tent with a bunch of like disease carrying rodents.
Yeah.
But then we had to go to like Bible study or something. And when I got back, they had chewed a hole in the tent, to leave. And I never saw them again. We have a great guest. This is our last guest of, season four.
And I'm actually really glad that she joined us because now I feel like I know even more about you than I did before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like by the time we wrap this series up, you will have gotten like a detailed multi-perspective account of my life.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's why we're here, right? Is so we can share the story of our lives through other people.
Exactly. So you're welcome. So who do we have on?
Today, joining us on the podcast is Mary, an actor, director, and singer based in New York City who is stretching the limits of Zoom first and asking questions later. Welcome to the podcast, Mary Linehan. Wait, did you go to the prom?
So I went to the prom. The whole story is that there was this guy in high school who I had a crush on, like on and off and on and off. He was just, I just loved him. And, but anyway, so I was on the track team and we both did the same event. And so we, you know, it was odd that like we barely spoke, but we spent a lot of time together. It was like a weird thing. But anyway, so we were at this event and, you know, the girls usually go first. Or, I'm sorry, we were at this meet and the girls usually go first. And so I'm warming up and I'm getting ready to go. And then all of a sudden, one of the other guys who also did our event turns to me and goes, oh, hey, he wants to go to prom with you. Like, he yelled it to me across the way.
Like, not the guy, his friend?
Like, yeah, like a guy who also did the event with us. Was like, hey, this he wants to go to prom with you. And I'm like... And I, because it was so, number one, because it was such a random out of the blue thing, and because we were sophomores, both of us, I was like, oh, he's joking. Because you sophomores can't ask sophomores to go to the prom. So I laughed, because I thought it was a joke. And then the guy got this look on his face like I had just smacked him across his mug. And I was like... I'm sorry, were you serious? Because again, we were sophomores. And so he just like gave me like this weird sort of like not really yes, not really no look. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to go warm up now. Don't know what's happening. And because Mary's in high school and high school Mary is just the queen of awkward moments. I'm just like, okay, gonna go over here now. And so I start warming up and I start running through the event, you know, and like getting ready to like compete. And then he like comes up to me and I never got an answer. I still don't know. That was literally the end of our conversations for like most of high school. We barely spoke the rest of high school, despite being with each other a lot. So if you're listening, person, you know who you are. Could you clear that up? Because I'm still, you know, it like passes through my mind. And I'm like, damn, I wish I could have just known. That's all.
Would you have said yes?
Yes, absolutely. I had a huge crush on him. Of course I would.
Oh, no.
Is it possible that maybe he was inviting you to, like, one of those senior center proms?
What?
And is just really waiting until you're, like, in your 70s to take you to that prom?
I was just so scared of boys. I loved them. I was super duper duper boy crazy, but I was also terrified if they ever actually made a move.
when I asked you to be on the podcast, your response was, yes, this is going to be John and Mary's date 2.0 plus Laura.
I'm so happy to be the third wheel in this.
He said that you're our chaperone.
Yeah, you're... To make sure things don't get too out of hand. Sounds so terrible. that's your role, Laura. Because you and I, Mary, we dated.
We did. It's true.
Yeah. When? Tell me everything.
It was quite amazing. I gotta say, it's one of...
Okay, you can just stop right there saying that a date with John was amazing. We don't need any more details after
that. John, you know you're just gonna edit it, so that's all she says anyway. But I at least want to hear the story so I can tell everybody.
So, it quite literally, and this is not... I'm not blowing smoke. It's one of the best dates I've ever had. It was so well thought out. And so kind and so sweet.
I believe that.
As
really
opposed
do.
To the majority of dates I've gone on in New York City where it's just like, okay, I bought you a beer. Take your shirt off. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So what happened was, John, I don't even, I guess you just asked me to go to have dinner with you, right? It was dinner and a movie.
Well, and it started because we were talking because I was like, I thought it was a joke, just like with your prom proposal. I thought it was a joke when you were like, oh, yeah, I'd go out with you. And so I was like, I'm going to see how far she's going to take this. And
I didn't know that part.
And yes. It was a really good date, though.
It was. So, okay, so this is what happened. So he planned the whole thing. And I still remember this. Okay, so John made me dinner. I don't remember what you made, but I remember asking whatever it was. I remember asking for salt, and you said, no, you have to taste it first because it's an insult if you need to add seasoning.
It sounds exactly like John.
I was a pretentious boob 10 years ago, too.
Yes, and you still are. You've made me dinner before. I know how this game is played.
Oh my god. Yeah, we're really talking up this date. Okay.
It was so good. No, but not only that, but the table had rose petals on it.
Oh.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
The
it was
table,
very sweet.
John?
Yeah. Yeah. He did up the table.
You weren't presumptuous. You didn't do the bed.
No. I mean,
we were both highly virgins at that time.
Not just virgins, but highly.
And my bed was a hand-me-down bed from like the past six people who had been to college in our theater's university. And it was just two mattresses stacked up on top of each other in the floor in the corner of my room. So rose petals would not have put lipstick on that pig. Yeah.
So we had the dinner, we had conversation. It was very nice. I'm sure we laughed a lot knowing us. And then we went to go see the Muppets movie. I remember this. And it was amazing. And we both appreciated it. And then the date was over. And then what happened, John?
So we're sitting awkwardly in my car outside of her house. And I'm like, oh, God, is this? And of course, again, with the preface of I thought that she was just humoring me. And at this point, I'm like, God, she's really committed to this joke. And so I'm like, I don't know what's supposed to happen now. Like, and then I made a comment of I don't know, you know, because in subsequent dates following that, I've ended dates by just shaking the person's hand because I didn't know how to end it. And so I made some sort of comment about it. And she was like, you're supposed to kiss me. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I went to go kiss her. And I am a very large person and she is a very small person. And so our faces did not exactly match up size wise. And so
wait, size wise, or are you talking about height?
But all of the above.
Yes.
To where a person's nose ended up in another person's eye.
John, was it finally your first time?
No.
But it was
because Mary came up to like maybe like the lower part of my rib cage, like if we were standing next to each other. So the height disparity, even in the car, was still significant. So I was not prepared to like head that far south, I guess. I'm not sure. And so
eventually,
we were able to line things up. And it was a sweet little kiss goodnight.
And then
we never spoke to each other again until tonight.
No, that's not true. It was the end of our romance, though.
It was the end of our romance.
Wait, but why? Because John realized that it was not a joke and he panicked?
No, we just, I don't know. We just never went further than that. That's all. No real reason one way or the other.
Fair. Well, Mary, I actually brought you here because all these years. But yeah, so this is the second date. This is close to 10 years after the first one. So how are we doing so far?
I feel good.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, okay.
You're just a chaperone though, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I get that my opinion doesn't really matter, but it is a little interesting to me that one, it's via Zoom, which I get, it's 2021. This is how we date now. Mm. But the fact that you brought a chaperone to a Zoom date seems
That's fair. That's
actually
fair.
I insisted because I knew once I got a beer in me, Mary was gonna ask me to take my shirt off.
Right.
So I needed someone to shut that down.
John, I mailed you a beer. Take your shirt off.
You're coming to us from New York.
I am.
And you have been... How long have you been living there now?
Let's see. This next week, I'll have been here 9 years.
Because you're living the life of an artist who moved to New York.
That's the idea.
Yeah. So not counting the after times of the past year.
Right.
What is that? What's that been like? Like from going, because you and I met in a small college town in Kentucky.
Yes.
And then you headed off to the Big Apple to pursue your passions and all that. And I will say, before you answer, you were one of the only smart people that I've ever known in planning for that, because you, for years, were saving money and preparing yourself for that move.
Yeah.
And so many other people just pack their bags and go without any plan, without any forethought. And you went up with months of money saved, like to be able to sustain yourself before anything else took over.
Yeah, I am the daughter of an accountant. And so I don't think he would have even let me out of the house if I wasn't financially prepared to move to New York City. So that's where that came from. So I had, you know, I'm the daughter, not only am I the daughter of an accountant, but I just am the product of many, many frugal people in my life. So it was, and I still had to learn how to budget and everything, because budgeting in New York City is not the same as budgeting in Ohio, where I'm from, or budgeting in, you know, Moorhead, Kentucky. But so it was still very much a learning curve, and,
right,
you know, but in terms of being, once I got here, right, I just thought, like, oh, it's just an extension of college. I couldn't have been more wrong about that. In terms of, you know, with college, not only is everything just, like, super safe, you know everybody, et cetera, but everything's very centralized. You know where to get everything. And then here, right, it's just, like, we could be doing a show in the middle of nowhere Brooklyn, and it's just, you know, you just have to be... That was also a learning curve of just learning, like, where the heck do I even start? And so I just started going to auditions. I started meeting people. And then from there, obviously, like, you start learning from other people, like, what it's really, what this is all really about. And I know, I think the biggest lesson that I've learned, and honestly, that wasn't until recently, like, within the last year or two, is that it's just not, this is not the glamorous life that everyone makes it out to be. It's not, I love it, and I wouldn't change it for anything, but, you know, even the people that I know who have been on Broadway, for example, it's just like doing any other show, and then you just kind of disappear into the city like anybody else. You're glamorous for the time that you're on stage, but then after that, it's like maybe you go back to your roach-infested apartment, you know? You're just another New Yorker after that.
Now to our main segment, the anecdotal dote. Here's how it works. I've selected a random word that only I've seen. Your job, Mary, is to tell a true story based on this word. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Your word is flower.
I can plan things, but I'm not great at it. My mom is really, that's my mom's talent. And so with morning glories, they're very easy because you barely have to water them and they just spread like wildfire. And so you plant them once and they just come up every year. And the coolest thing about a morning glory, I think, is before it blooms, right? Because I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it is an absolutely perfect spiral. Perfect spiral before it kind of spirals open. Mm-hmm. And I show Kevin all the time, every time we see morning glories, I have to stop and look at it because it's one of those things in nature that are absolutely perfect just by nature.
Yeah.
And I love it. So if you go out like at night and you see morning glories, or like really early before they open up, you'll see them just like very tightly coiled, and it's just perfect. And then flowers also make me think of this. My mom gave me, I was going away to Virginia to do a contract in like the middle of nowhere, Virginia. And it was such a kooky summer, but I was going to be gone for the longest time that I'd been away from home besides school. And I didn't know anybody, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. It's not easy for my parents to come and visit. And so my mom gives me snapdragons in a pot. And she said, this will be something for you to care for, you know, and like give you like a nice little thing when you come home at night, or, you know, when you wake up in the morning. Those things didn't even last a week.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for doing this. It's so great to see you and talk with you again. And I miss you and love you dearly.
I miss you. And it was so good to meet you, Laura.
You too. Thanks for telling me about your day with John. It really explains a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So just let me know when, if you're up for date three, you know, just let me know and we'll see how it goes.
Don't call me this time.
I'm sorry, Laura, did you not enjoy being the chaperone?
No,
of the two
this
of us?
Is so fun. But I think
Was it not sexy enough? We can turn it up now.
We can. Just turn that twink, turn that twink, turn that tink up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, baby.
No, I was gonna say that I think the two of you would be maybe not want a chaperone.
for the listener,
I'm just trying to help John out.
Both
really.
Mary and I both turned our heads
like a confused dog. Like the
little... At the same time.
It was great. It's like you rehearsed it. It was amazing.
We have really good chemistry.
We do.
That's what I'm Although saying.
Her and her Kevin have pretty good chemistry too. And he's a TV star too.
He is. He's been on TV way more than I have. I think he's been in 3 or 4 times.
Well, Mary, is there a place where people can go to check out your work and all of that stuff?
Yes. Right now, my website's on the fritz, which is bad timing. But but you can find me on Facebook. I have a very, very active actor page that I keep updated with pictures and posts and all the whatnot. Yeah, find me there. Mary Linehan.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. Peace out, Tupac.
I couldn't think of anything else to say.
Oh, all right, Laura. So a couple of weeks ago, you and I did an episode of the podcast with the segment of philosophical questions.
It's true. Yeah.
And one of those segments, the question that you asked me was referring to toilet seat etiquette.
That's correct.
Whether it should be up or down.
Yeah.
And in the podcast, I made the statement, well, let's just play it.
Okay.
However, I do have empathy for people who have to use the toilet seat. I, for one, have never sat into an open toilet seat.
You haven't?
I have not, thank the Lord.
Oh, that is a life experience you need to have.
So in it, it's me saying how that's never happened to me. I've never experienced it, yada, yada, yada.
And now you're going to share your experience with us?
Yeah. So literally, like, what was that, 2 days after we recorded that episode?
Maybe. Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
I messaged you because
yes, you did.
It finally happened. I went to go. I was working and then nature called. And so I walked into the restroom, didn't think twice, sat down, and then immediately regretted every life decision I had made up to that point.
As one does when this happens.
And so I'm sitting there on the cold, cold porcelain, feeling the Arctic waters lick at my behind and start cackling like the Joker. Just loudly at the top of my lungs, just cackling like an unhinged human being. And then I stand up, pants around my ankles, roaring with laughter for about a good 10 minutes. Buck is clawing at the door, thinking that I've lost my mind.
Fair.
And then I immediately contacted you to inform you that karma hath struck with the force of a mighty hammer.
Oh my God. And it was the best too, because I was having a terrible, terrible day. I got your message. And the worst part, I guess, I don't know if it was the worst part, but like part of it too was that I was having a shit day. I
was having a shit in the day.
But I couldn't, you sent me like, you first of all were like, Laura, in all caps, like you do to me sometimes. And I used to think that something horrible was happening. And then I realized that that's just how you get my attention now. And I got your videos and it made me laugh so freaking hard.
It's the most perfect. I'd like to make an amendment to whatever I said last time with that philosophical question. So would you like to ask me that question again, Laura?
So, John, toilet seat up or down? What is
down? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode.
If you have a story inspired by the word flower, let us know. Have a question or need some anecdotal advice on a subject? Send your questions, comments, and stories to us written, filmed, or by audio, and they might be shared on a future podcast. Submissions can be sent to theanecdotaldote@gmail.com.
And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.
Write us a review and share this podcast with your friends.
Remember, everyone has a story to tell, especially you. So send them in. We're excited to listen.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
So, like, I now know what Jack felt like when he was like, Rose, never you can have go. The door. I'll freeze to death like a dumbass in the middle of the ocean while you, rich girl, live on the door. I know what his struggle was like now.
Yeah, you're going to compare slightly dropping your ass into a toilet to freezing to death in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah, in fact, I think my situation was worse.